Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Can the secret to great management be held in just two words? Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Cruz. Welcome to the LeadX Show, where we help you to stand out and to get ahead. I hope you'll remember to tell your friends on Facebook and your colleagues at work all about the LeadX Show, because we want to help them out and we want to build the LeadX family. Friends, my head is spinning. So I just finished the interview with today's guest that you're about to hear, and I have a weird feeling like my life might never be the same. I just bought a relationship book, a book about marriage that he recommended, even though I'm not married. I'm thinking about redoing all of my marketing videos, and I just Googled, where the heck is Guanajuato? Which, as a gringo, I spelled W-O-N-A-W-A-T-O. I learned it's a city in central Mexico, and it ain't spelled anything like that. Officially, I guess I'm supposed to say, you're going to hear my conversation with the founder and CEO of Saddleback Leather. We talk about his secrets to management, how to have less stress on the job, but so much more. Once again, I encourage you to buckle up for the ride on this one. But first, here is my 1 minute tip. Stress rituals. I'm probably one of the most chill guys you'd ever meet. My friends have called me stoic, Dr. Spock. They've said I'm zenned out. And yet the stress I have felt over the last 8 weeks has been crazy. Now, logically, I know I shouldn't feel stress, but anxiety isn't logical. Anxiety or stress means I'm living in the future. I'm worrying about things that haven't happened yet, and 99% of the time they will never happen. For me, lately, the stress triggers have been a book deadline with my publisher, launching new products, and raising money from investors. But those are just things. It's, of course, the emotions behind them that cause the stress. It's the shame of possibly disappointing others. The self-esteem hit from making mistakes in the business. The fear of failure when it comes to investors. In my worst moments, my worst days, I need to activate my stress ritual. First, my body. Upright posture, roll my shoulders a bit, and deep cleansing breaths. Then, gratitude. What are three things that can flood me with a feeling of gratitude? Maybe it's the health of my kids, the sunny day that we're having, and the miracle that I can actually see it when others can't. The fact that I'm not living in a refugee camp like 65 million other people are today. Third, action. What is the one thing that I can do now to work on the things that are stressing me out? And then focus on that one thing. Stress is counterproductive and jeopardizes your health. If you want to get back to a place of calm and peak performance, create your stress ritual. Now, our guest today is the founder and owner of Saddleback Leather, a business he started out of the back of his beat-up truck in Mexico back in 2003. Saddleback now does over $15 million a year in sales, all online. He's an adventurer, a man with a huge heart, and a natural storyteller. Our guest is Dave Munson. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey there, Kevin. Glad to be here.
So in a minute, I want to hear about you and your company, but specifically, it's like a tradition. I always ask our guests the same first question because I want you to tell us a story about a time when you failed, maybe early in your career, maybe later. And what did you learn from it? Because we're selfish. I want to learn from your failure without having to go through the pain myself.
Man, there's so many options to choose here. Which story to tell. So when I first got going, I didn't keep records of anything. And it was all just kind of a disorganized mess. I was doing everything myself. So I got someone to come in to help me. And I just delegated 100% to them. And I got disconnected from the business, and that really hurt. It really hurt to completely disconnect from the business. And so when I tried to reconnect back into the business in 2013, it was really painful because everyone saw me as just a guy who just traveled around and had fun and did cool videos, and I didn't have the authority because I had never really invested in my business too much. So that was a huge fail for me, not being involved in my business, but being distant there. So yeah, that really hurt. Took a couple of years to really get respect back and to clean things up.
So Dave, this is interesting, and I think it's a common problem that a lot of CEOs, founders might have, maybe not quite to the degree you have, because you're very, you know, visible, the face of the company and quite the adventurer. But I think a lot of CEOs are out traveling to visit customers or out speaking on the conference circuit or whatever it is. And they could also lose that connection of or the authority of sort of being in charge back when they're in the office. I mean, so how did you turn that around? Like, what specifically did you do to say, like, hey, I'm back and this is my company?
I fired our CEO.
It's a good first step.
And I said, I'm the new CEO. And then I hired a business coach, a guy named Larry Briggs, out of Portland, Oregon area. And I had him come in and teach me how to be CEO. And so I started asking everyone in the company, tell me about yourself. And I tried to learn what everybody does, and I tried to learn everybody. Mm. And so not how to do programming or how to do the stupid spreadsheets and all that sort of stuff, but I wanted to know what they did and how they spent their time, and then I tried to learn them and were they lined up with that. So the more that people saw me being involved and caring about them and trying to learn about them and learn about the processes and all of that, the more they said, hey, he's onto something. I matter to him. And so slowly I earned the respect and the right to speak and not have every single questioned, decision questioned, the more I did that.
What I love about that answer, Dave, and you know, LeadX family, what's interesting here, I'm asking about how Dave got authority back and took charge. And what did he do? He went out and asked about other people. He went and learned about them as people and what they did. It wasn't him stomping around talking about his vision or strategy or he's the boss. And so, Dave, you know, Dave, thanks for sharing that. It's a great lesson for us to all remember. And now this is episode, I think, 163. I might be off by one number. And I've interviewed a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of successful people. And so, you know, I always do a little bit of background research. I go to their website, their LinkedIn profile. But I ain't never read a webpage quite like yours. And it begins, it says, a hot wife, two fabulous kids, 14 Rwandan sons and daughters, a cool dog, and a crooked Federale sent to kill me, kind of makes up the Saddleback story. And here's how it happened. Now, I'm kind of scared to ask, but that's a perfect lead-in. How the heck did Saddleback Leather get started?
So it was kind of it was an accident. I didn't mean to start my business. So I was volunteer English teaching down kind of near Mexico City, and I needed a bag to carry my books. And so I found a guy making a bag, and I thought, making bags, I thought, hey, so what would Indiana Jones carry? So I had this picture of what he would carry in my head. And so I asked this guy making the bags if he would make me one. I sketched it out, told him I didn't want it. I wanted it to last forever. I wanted people to fight over it when I was dead. And so he made it. And man, everywhere I went, people loved it. I got back up to the States 4 or 5 times a day up in Portland, Oregon. People would tap me on the shoulder asking where they could get a bag like that. So I moved back down to Mexico, ended up in Juarez, Mexico for about 3 years. And every time I sold a bag, I would deposit money in the bank account in Juarez of this father and son further south, and they would send up bags on the bus. I'd take them across to El Paso and I'd sell them on eBay in a friend's mechanic shop at night. And so my black lab and I, we just slept on the floor of this little $100 a month apartment for about 3 years. No hot water. It was pretty rough. But all of the money, I was only spending $100. So all the money that I saved on rent and utilities and all that stuff in El Paso that I would have spent there, I sunk it into these bags.
So how many bags were you selling a month or something back then?
I started off selling one a week, and then two, it moved. My dad started helping me, and it started, he got it up to two every 3 days. And then pretty soon we couldn't keep up. The father and son couldn't keep up with production after about 3 years. So I got married and met my wife on MySpace. I saw this picture of her gutting a deer, and I was like, wow, she's so pretty.
Now, Dave, I'm going to check. Is this a true story? Your now wife puts a picture up, her picture up on MySpace of her cutting up a deer.
Yeah, the deer was like on his back, legs spread out, and she was gutting right up the middle. I was like, oh my gosh, that's better than like lingerie.
She's got some skills.
Got some skills. So she could gut me. So yeah, so we met, and about 5 months later, we got married, and I moved to San Antonio. We started a factory down in Mexico because that father and son couldn't keep up, and no one really cares about yourself as much as you do. So yeah, we started our own factory, Old Mexico Manufacturing, and just kept on going. It's been really, really cool.
So tell us again, back when you were starting, you're selling like a bag a week, around what year was that?
That was 2003.
2003. And again, you know, one of my takeaways, I mean, you're not trying to teach me lessons here, Dave, but like, talk about patience. I mean, it seems like we're in a day and age now where, you know, everyone wants to build an app literally in a weekend and be a billionaire by next year, right? And you're talking about handcrafted bags that you're sleeping in $100 a month place. I can't even imagine what it looked like back then. And I can't imagine how your wife was attracted to that back then. And yet, like, you hung in there, right? I mean, you hung in there, and all these years later, you know, it's grown. I mean, I don't know if you share this, but like, how many bags a year or a month do you think, or all products, you know, how many units do you move now?
Maybe 80,000, 90,000.
Jeez.
A year, I don't know, something like that, 100,000.
That is amazing.
So, I mean, that includes, you know, little wallets and little things too. But we're really blessed to, we have quite a following. And, you know, it was kind of an accident. I didn't mean to be, I didn't take any marketing classes. And so I didn't know that you weren't supposed to talk about your dog on the website or actually be a real person and speak in first person and use contractions. So I was told not to do that. And our slogan, you know, they'll fight over it when you're dead. I was told by a marketing friend of mine, he goes, Dave, don't use any negativity. You need to change that. Take it off the website. But I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to. So when I did it, people were really attracted to it.
Your marketing, you know, you were practicing authenticity before that became a thing, which is quite remarkable. And, you know, I'm curious nowadays, like with the resources you have now and that web copy, you know, that I read at the start. I mean, do you have someone working with you now to, you know, represent your voice and approach, or are you still writing a lot of your own marketing?
Yeah, I still write it. You know what I found? What's that guy, Larry Ellison? He still writes ads for that big company he has. I forget what it's called.
Oh, Oracle. Yeah.
Oracle. He still writes his. I heard he still writes his ads for magazines and stuff. I like it. Yeah, it's fun.
Well, yeah, and Steve Jobs came up with a lot of the slogans and stuff himself. But I'm just curious. Like, you have a knack with writing. I mean, it's like, this is like, if you haven't already written some novels, you don't have some unpublished novels, you should get busy on that in your spare time. Because, you know, it's a way with words, it's funny, it's compelling. Like, so is this come natural, or did you go study, I don't know, you know, creative writing somewhere?
No, you know, everyone's great at something. You just got to figure out what it is. I mean, seriously, everyone really shines like an A player in something. It may not be writing, but it might be like numbers. I mean, you just have to learn yourself and kind of what are some of the things you gravitate towards. You know, I just gravitate toward writing, and it seems that people appreciate that. So
yeah, they certainly do.
But boy, do I really suck at numbers and stuff.
Well, hopefully you've got good help in that area then.
We have some really solid people.
So you've had this incredible, you know, success over the years. Now, there's a lot of, you know, for someone who's thinking about a briefcase, a backpack, a wallet, there's a lot of choices out there. So how are your bags and briefcases, how are they different?
So I just do them like as if I were doing them for myself. And so I like make a bag for myself. Well, what would I want? So I line it with pigskin, which is tougher than the cow. I make it so it makes into a backpack, you know, the briefcase. I have little hidden flaps in there for secret stuff. I just make it very functional and very durable, no breakable parts. So that's kind of our specialty is no breakable parts. And we have a 100-year warranty. So because if you don't have something that a part that can break, then like I think it's a pretty safe bet that you can give it 100 years. But yeah, we just go with as high of quality as we can. And I see people knocking off my bags. Last look, I think I saw 18 different companies knocking them off. But they're selling them at the price of my raw materials. And so I did a little video, how to knock off a bag. And I taught the bad guys how to knock off a bag better. So how to knock off one of my bags in a cheaper way. It was pretty cool.
And Dave, I was going to actually bring up that video. I watched that video. And so, and again, it's authentic and funny. You're basically saying, hey, if you want to copy me, this is how you got to do it. But the message that you give, I learned a lot about like a lot of it has to do with the number of stitches in the bag. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So like a sewing machine it's just a perforation machine. And it just perforates the leather. So, you know, the more holes you have, the worse it is. So we use as few pieces as possible. So we have as few seams as possible. So we use these big, giant chunks of leather, and that's expensive. We have a lot of scrap leather left over. And so, the fewer the stitches, the better. So we do like 5 stitches an inch instead of 7 or 9 stitches an inch. It's a whole combination of things that makes quality. So, you know, quality starts in the design room. And there are some companies to do it really well. But in our category, I don't know anyone who does it any better, maybe equal. I mean, Filson's a really good brand. And there's some really good quality brands out there. But we try to do it as best we can.
It's really amazing. Now, you've got today, I assume you've got employees in sort of manufacturing down in Mexico, right? And then sales, marketing, and service probably here in the States.
Yeah.
So all kinds of roles. And you've been, you know, leading the team now since firing the CEO and becoming the boss and learning how to do that yourself. I mean, what advice would you give to someone who's just starting out on their leadership journey? You know, whether they're leading, you know, people in a factory environment or leading people in an office environment, like what tips or what advice would you give?
Oh my God, this is great. Okay, this is really an easy one, okay? But it's huge. Ask this question, by when? That's it, those two words, by when.
By when.
So you ask them, hey, that's a great idea. By when can you have that? And if they go, I don't know, I'll have to check and get back with you. You go, okay, by when will you get back with me? And they go, Wednesday? And you go, okay, so on Wednesday, you go, hey, so what'd you find out? And they go, oh, yeah, I can, it's doable. And I go, okay, by when can you have it? And they go, I have it by next Wednesday. And you go, great, thanks. So if you remember one thing from this whole conversation here, it's by when.
Powerful two words there. I like that.
Oh, my gosh. And you just write down every time they don't hit by when, you just kind of keep track of that and just mental notes. And then it leads to easier conversations when you have something, you know, like you don't ever hit this. You know, is everything okay at home? You know, what's going on? How's your family? You know, that sort of thing. And the other one is know your people. If I need a bunch of data, like, hey, how much leather have we bought from the different tanneries? At what price? What peso exchange rate? You know, how many decimeters? Could you put all that together and give me some numbers? You know, from 2008 to present, you have some people all of a sudden tying their shoes at the table. Like, yeah. You know, like, and other people are like fighting over, like their hands are raised. Hey, it's my turn. I want to do it. So you just got to know your people, and then you know who to ask stuff from and who not to ask stuff from. So it's just really important to know your people, and then don't ask them to do stuff that they're not wired to do.
This I literally just finished a chapter on my next book around the idea of, you know, fair and equal. And I think a lot of inexperienced managers or leaders, they just think all employees have to be treated the same because that's what's fair, that's what's equal, or to not do that would be showing favoritism. And I make the point that favoritism is okay, like it's not cronyism, as long as it's for the right reasons. And basically to identify what our people's individual values, what are their individual strengths, and then you tailor the work and the assignments and their career path based on what they're good at.
Yeah, you know, I say, like, if I were hiring for someone to fetch sticks out of the pond in front of the house, and a cat applies for the job and they have a master's degree in stick fetching, you know, and then a lab shows up and he's all wet and he applies, he doesn't have a master's, but he has a little experience, you know, I would totally hire the lab. I wouldn't ask the cat to go swimming all day long fetching sticks, though they could do it. So it's getting the right people doing the right jobs.
I like it that you added that the lab showed up already wet. But that's true, right? Like, generally, people have already been doing, they already show signs of what they're great at. It's like what they can't not do. That's what they're great at.
Yeah. And I would say for a manager, find out about yourself. You know, the Greeks always say, know thyself, or said, I don't know. I bet they still say it. know yourself. Take a bunch of strength finders and DISC and Myers-Briggs and CVI. I love the CVI, the Core Values Index. But take those tests and find out about yourself, and it'll really help you out as a manager.
Now, Dave, this is like a bonus question I'm going to hit you with unexpectedly. Like, I can't help but ask this. This is just of personal interest. So, you know, I've started and sold a bunch of businesses and others have failed. And, you know, I've been an entrepreneur for 30 years now. But I got to be honest, like, I'm compelled to do it. It's who I am. But I have a hard time enjoying it, like, in the moment, because I'm stressed out about things. Like, it's my perfectionist tendency, whatever. You seem to be an entrepreneur who is just freaking loving life. He's loving the war, the fight, the problems. And, like, is that just your outside persona? Hey, I'm happy. Go and buy my bags. Or you really have always, like, every day is just this fun adventure?
Yeah, every day is a fun adventure. So here's the cool thing. Like, we just had a bunch of theft, a whole bunch of theft. Legally, I don't know if I can talk about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just had a whole bunch of junk go on. But now it was like a forest fire, and it caused us to be healthier than we've ever been in our history at the factory. And we got total upgrades. We got everything else. So I believe that God is always shaping us and always changing us, and things happen for a reason and we don't understand at the time. But if we're, like, ungrateful, I mean, I asked for him to help me in this thing, so I figured that he would. And so if he does, it doesn't always come in the form that I expected it. But man, I got to a point one time when I had $19 in my bank account. I was sleeping on the floor. I had a full bag of dog food. I didn't have any money coming in for 3 weeks. But, you know, that was part of my story. I got stuck in Juarez. Seriously, Juarez is not a tourist destination.
Right, right.
And I got stuck there. It's a pit. For 3 years, because someone stole from me. But you know what? It ended up being part of my story that has really, I mean, if my story were daddy bought me a business, you know, that's not very attractive. But really, so all of these things they turn out for the good if you believe that they will. So yeah, I just saw it as a, you know, as a kind of a blessing and these things. And we, because of the theft, we got a huge upgrade in our people and we got more efficient and everything. It's really been cool. So if you see everything as a downer and going wrong and it's a disaster, if you know that there are bigger things coming, and that's how you get wisdom. You can't take a class on wisdom and now you're wise. You have to experience it. You have to go through it, and you develop a different kind of character that most people don't get if you go through struggles.
Great advice. And I think for some personality types, you know, easier to think about than to experience. I've gotten better in my, you know, recent years, but I just that shift, as you're saying, like, we grow during times of struggle, right? That's when we grow the most. When we stress the muscles the most is when they respond and grow. Someone told me, you know, the phrase, you just need to flip it around. And anytime, you know, something negative's going on, you say, you know, not why is this happening to me, but why is this happening for me? And, you know, how are we going to be better from it? And that was a pretty powerful statement for me. And again, easier to say it than to feel it. And the other thing I wanted to point out, LeadX listeners, is, you know, Dave seems to do this naturally, but he talked about his experience in Juarez being, you know, now part of his origin story. And from a marketing standpoint, and David, I know you didn't, like, set it up to be this way. You didn't say, let me go be broke and in danger for 3 years so I'll have a good story. But too often, I think people try to market themselves or create a personal brand where you know, they're always handsome, rich, smart, successful. People don't respond to that. People want to hear it's the hero's journey where, you know, they want to know when was your darkest moment and how did you get out of it? That's what people rally to. And Dave, I'm sure that's a big part of your success. And it's just a good reminder to the rest of us is not to hide that stuff, not to hide the early days, not to hide the struggles, but to really share it out.
Dude, that is so important. Like year three in my marriage, Suzette and I were fighting. I have a great wife, by the really great wife. But year three, we were fighting like crazy. And I mean, all the time, it was just like, I couldn't believe what a jerk I married. And she was doing the same thing. She was like, what a jerk, bait and switch. This guy's an idiot. And then we worked through it and we read a book called Love and Respect. And it really changed our marriage. But it opened her eyes. And now because of that, we've been able to help a ton of other people in their marriages who are going through the exact same thing that we were going through. But if we hadn't gone through that tough time, we wouldn't have been able to help other people. So, man, use it as a blessing.
I just took a note on that, love and respect. So I'm going to grab a copy of that. And Dave, this is going to be another crazy thing. Like I've got, so, you know, 100,000 monthly listeners, readers on Forbes, all stuff. I think everyone's going to read this interview, listen to this interview, and they're going to be like, how can I spend money to go hang out with Dave? Like people are just going to want to hang out with you for a while. Like, do you do like a customer appreciation day where everybody can fly to Texas or to Mexico and like hang out with you for a day?
Well, actually, you know what's funny you say that, because there are two things. Like we have a daycare at the factory and we have an English program where I was teaching English way back. Mm-hmm. That we pay for them now, that school, to open up by our factory. So for the kids of the employees. And we're right next to the coolest town, and I'm not kidding, in North America. It's called Guanajuato. And so I wanted to have a customer gathering, a Saddleback family gathering there in Guanajuato. Everyone does a tour of the factory. They tour the daycare.
Right.
And then another one, a second tier in Rwanda, because we take our we've taken about 300 people to East Africa, Rwanda, and we're very involved with African New Life Ministries. And so it's kind of like Compassion International. And so uh-huh. I wanted to take a whole bunch of customers with us to see what happens with the money that they send us. And because really we're a people business, cleverly disguised as a leather bag company.
Right, right.
So we want to take people in and so they can experience it. And I think it'd be really cool to start probably in the spring, actually.
Well, seriously, like keep me posted on that. So at the very least, I can share it, you know, with our audience and the details and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not kidding. I mean, I think that, you know, there are plenty of business people who pay like almost like a conference fee to go and see how, I don't know, you know, Google or Tesla or whoever works and to pick up some things. So, I mean, not that you need another business to manage, but I mean, it's something that I think could help your good work in Rwanda rather than be an expense. At the very least, I would spread the word. And if I could attend myself, then we could do, you know, some kind of LeadX business chat or meetup, and I could try to get more of the tribe out there too. But it's a great idea.
Oh, let's talk about that.
All right. That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
It'd be really cool.
So, Dave, how can our listeners until then find out more about Saddleback?
Oh, saddlebackleather.com. If you Google like a leather briefcase, if there's an ad there, don't click on it because that cost me like 75 cents. So you would just go to scroll down a teeny bit and click on the website. But just Google leather briefcase, leather bag, leather backpack. You'll see us right up top there. Or you could get a hold of me at dave@saddlebackleather.com. That's my personal email address. I'm not going to give you my cell phone number.
Email's good enough. I'm sure you're going to get a few.
Email will work. Even if you Google leather, we're pretty high up there. So you go, what's the name of that company again? Something about leather.
You got some good search engine optimization craft going on, I see.
We certainly do. It's a few years there in the making, but yeah.
No, that's fantastic. LeadX listeners, LeadX family, you know, I always challenge you to get just a little bit better every single day. I like to give you a daily challenge. And the challenge of the day is going to be ask by when as many times as you can. Let's use Dave's advice and ask our team members by when. Dave, thanks for coming on to the LeadX show. It's been a lot of fun.
Kevin, I appreciate you having me on. This is really cool to talk with you.
Friends, before we go, remember, at LeadX, we're on a mission to give free leadership training and professional development to everyone, anywhere, at any time. Visit leadx.org to check out our upcoming webinars and online training events, and subscribe to our newsletter to be notified of new offerings. And please take 1 minute to go to leadx.org/subscribe to subscribe and leave a rating on iTunes, because we're at 227 reviews as of this moment, and I need to get to 300. Just in the last week, we've had awesome 5-star ratings from Garth, Trish Way, Die in AZ, Tri Guru, Indigo Cole, Elsie Flores, and so many others. Please join them. leadx.org/subscribe. Until next time, remember, your family, your team at work, your community, we all need you to lead with intent. How will you lead today?